Good morning. I'm glad that you made time just to hang with us today in chapel. I'm really going to direct us to basically one verse to have you consider and reflect today. And I have been where you're at. I don't mean literally here, but I've sat in chapel when I was a student in the 90s. We didn't have a gymnasium, so we met in chapel in the cafeteria, the one that's right there. And I know what it's like, especially in April, as things are winding down and maybe the stress really increases. So thank you for being here this morning as well. A busy day. Have you had one of those ever in your life? Have you had one? Do you know what that's like? I'm sure you do. Classes, you've got homework, study, meetings, errands, research papers, you've got friends, that comes with drama. And then you go to bed and there's another day waiting for you. Mine was very hectic in college as well, combining sports and studies and work as well, plus the anxieties of is God really trustworthy? Will my life be okay? Does God have good plans that I can be a part of? Will I find love in my life? All those things, you know, worrying. And we get busy with things, and we should be. These are good things, hopefully, that you're a part of. They're not wasteful things, hopefully, that you're a part of good work. The Bible really teaches us that we are created by God. We are His handiwork to do the good works that He's prepared for us in advance. You get to be about good work today that God has prepared for you, that you would join God in good work. But these daily activities that we're busy with, they do have purpose. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was busy as well. Jesus was busy with good work, as hopefully you are. And so today we're just going to look at a day in the life of Jesus. And one of these verses that I'm going to have you hover on and hopefully carry with you today or this week or hopefully for a lifetime. This one verse will give us a glimpse into the pace and the priority, and the rhythm of Jesus's life as he was busy with good work. So if you have a Bible and you want to join me, you can join me in the book of Mark, chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Mark. Before we begin reading, I'll have you go to ultimately verse 35, but let me give you a little context, because never read a Bible verse. You ever heard that? Never read a Bible verse. And we say that meaning, make sure we read the verse within its context. Don't just pluck a Bible verse, you know, outside of its context. And so we read, here's where Jesus finds himself in his busy day. He had taught in the local synagogue. He's in a place called Capernaum. Capernaum will be kind of his home base of ministry in Galilee. And so he teaches in the synagogue. The synagogue is the center for Jewish life and teaching and instruction. And at that synagogue, Jesus drives out an impure spirit from a demonized man. He leaves the synagogue and he goes to the home of Simon and Andrew, and we come to find that Simon's mother-in-law is sick. She's in bed with a fever, and Jesus heals her immediately and completely. It has already been a busy day of ministry for Jesus. I put the scripture up here in verse 32. His day continues. Verse 32, that evening after sunset, so now Sabbath is over. People come to him. They brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. Verse 34, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Here's the verse I want you to consider. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That's it. There's no teaching of Jesus in this verse. There's no miracle that he performs. There's no parable that he gives. It's almost as if Mark, the author, as he's being told about the life of Jesus, it's almost as if it's like a camera on the doorbell or CCTV type of things where you just see Jesus wake up and leave the home. There's no single family homes at that time. Families lived with each other. He leaves everyone in that home and he kind of quietly sneaks off. And as if you were following him, and where's Jesus going? He goes off to a solitary place, a desolate place, a lonely place. It can be translated a quiet place. And what does Jesus do when he gets to this lonely, quiet, desolate place? He talks with his Father. He prays. Verse 36, let me tell you what happens right after this verse. It's up here on the screen. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And that word look is literally more like they hunted him down. They were searching for him. Verse 37, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And that phrase, "everyone is looking for you," carries a reprimand, an accusation. Like, Jesus, where did you go? There are people in Capernaum to heal, and they're already looking for you. Why would you leave the house? Everyone is looking for you. Verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else. Let's not go back to the people who need me, the people whom Jesus came to serve and love and heal and teach back in Capernaum." He says, "Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." Jesus appears to be resolved in his purpose and his calling and what he has to do, even though there's options, good options of good work back in Capernaum, but he knows that let's go to other villages. Verse 39, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And I think what Mark is writing here is that little glimpse we get into a day in the life of Jesus in Capernaum, where he taught, he healed people, he drove out demons, and where he also went off to a solitary place. It's like that's just a little glimpse of what happened in every town. In every town, this was Jesus' rhythm in life. And so again, let's go back to Mark 1:35. Worth maybe highlighting, worth considering. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, that's probably between 3 to 6 a.m., but don't get caught up on that it has to be early in the morning. But he gets up early in the morning. He goes off to a solitary place. The Greek word there is eremos or eremos, however you want to pronounce that. Sometimes it's wilderness. And sometimes you think the wilderness is a bad place to be. But it was actually a really good place that Jesus wanted to go to, a solitary place away from people. Jesus loves people. He came to save people. But he also needs to get away from people. Do you know that feeling? You live here in a Christian community. I'm sure you love people, but sometimes you just got to get away from them. And that's actually good. There's a rhythm in life to do that. Figuratively, he went to a barren place. That provides needed quiet, freedom from disturbance. And we read in the Gospels over and over that Jesus loved the eremos, the lonely place. About 9 times in the Gospel, we will read some account where Jesus would withdraw from his disciples, from people, or he would withdraw with his disciples, and they would go to the desolate place, the eremos. In Luke, it says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So this was a regular action of Jesus, a spiritual discipline, a core practice, a way of life for him. In Mark 6, we'll later read that he takes his disciples with him after a busy day of ministry. They didn't even have a chance to eat that day. He says, "Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest." He is teaching his disciples about the eremos, the wilderness, the desolate place, the solitary place, the quiet place. Jesus leaves people to be alone with the Father, with his Father. Why do you think Jesus did this? Why would he do this so often? Well, what did he do? What did Jesus do in the quiet place? He prayed. Jesus, who is God, talks, but he's not the Father. He's not the Holy Spirit. There is communion between the Trinity. He goes to talk with the Father, to pray with him. And if Jesus, who is God, And as he walked this earth in humanity, if Jesus is going to need some solitary time, a little bit of space from others to simply be with his heavenly Father, why do we think that we don't need that? Why wouldn't we follow his example as well? I think Jesus longed for it. I think it was energizing. I think it also reminded him and set him straight on who he was, his identity, and what he was called to do, his calling, his purpose. Because sometimes those get out of whack. I know they do in my life. I forget who I am. I start believing the lies in my head. I start believing the lies that are told around me. Or I even start believing the praises that others give me. And I need to spend time with the Father because my identity is rooted in who he says I am. And sometimes I get misdirected in life and where I have to give my time. And you have so many opportunities. And I need the wisdom of God to say, who have you called me to be? What good work? And there are probably about 4 or 5 options today. But God, I want to do the good work that you direct me to today. I need some time alone with the Father. He basked in his Father's presence and his love. Jesus put the presence of God into practice. Right? And we learn that, listen, Jesus gets alone. It's not that that God was in the lonely place. We learn things in theology that God is what? Omnipresent? Meaning God is everywhere at once. Jesus, you can pray to God right now. You don't have to go somewhere and then find where God is. He is here. God was in the house that Jesus left. He and you can wake up and pray. You can be in a crowded car. You can be in a classroom. You can talk to God anytime. But there was something that Jesus prioritized. He wanted to meet with God in that eremos, that wilderness, that lonely place. And he could barely even get away from his disciples. They come and hunt him down as well. You can pray to God right now. But I believe that Jesus, and sometimes we need to sort of remove ourselves from people, from disturbances, in order to be fully attentive to God. Because I get distracted. I appreciate what Hannah said. I met my wife here at Simpson. I'm probably the only guy that ever met his wife at a Christian college. I know it never happens. And I met her. I love, and when I go out sometimes on dates with my wife, we still date each other. We've been married almost 30 years. We still date each other. But when I go out to a restaurant in town or just some, you know, public place, I have a habit because I love to see friends in town. And so we'll be sitting across the table from each other, but I'm really not present with my wife. I'm looking over her shoulder at the door to see who comes in because maybe I see one of my friends. Maybe I see one of you that I want to check in with you and see how you're doing. And so I'm there with my wife, but she knows that I'm not really there with her. I'm looking over her shoulder. So do you know what, my wife, we have this thing that we do now. We actually switch seats. We change my posture, my place, to where we need to put my back to the door so that I can focus on my bride. And she's a lot better looking than you guys. I'd rather give my attention to her. And so why do we shift posture? Because it helps me. And I'm not saying you're a distraction. You're a good thing. But she's the most important thing. And so I think when we posture ourselves away from your roommates, away from the people you love, whom God has called you to serve, it is so that you can prioritize, that you set your phone down, you pull your earbuds out to be just present with the Father for a few minutes, to let him remind you who you are and what he has called you to do. I need to do the same thing with God. He's with me all day long. He's with you. He's always present. But many times God is ever present, but I can be inattentive to him all day long. And I'm sure you know that as well. You can go all day long without even being attentive to the presence of God. I need the quiet place, the eremos, that lonely place. And so we work hard to carve out time, hopefully daily, just to meet with him. Do you ever visit the quiet place? Do you ever visit, is there a place, a spot or two that you go to just to bask in God's presence, to grow in your identity and your calling, to let God speak truth to you each and every day? I meet God in his word, And I reflect and talk with him. I pour out my anxieties and my cares. And so my encouragement to you, if you haven't already, but that you would establish a daily rhythm to meet with God. You'd be purposeful, as Jesus is in Mark 1:35, purposeful to go to some sort of quiet place to meet with him. Jesus simply prioritized time alone with the Father. What could it look like for you to take a step this week or even today to find solitude with God? And I encourage you, start small. I don't think you have to go climb a mountain from here. It can be as simple as spending 5 minutes in prayer before bed or reading a portion of God's word in the quiet. And I've learned a big thing in my life about spiritual growth is that something is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. And sometimes, you know, we go for this awesome thing. I'm going to go spend 2 hours today with God. That's awesome. But how about even starting with 5 minutes to make that a habit? Find your eremos. That's that Greek word for desolate place. Solid. Find your eremos. Maybe it's a park or a walking trail down the street. Maybe it's a reading nook at home, a chair you like to go to. Maybe it's a favorite bench. I have a favorite bench at the Lima Ranch walking trails that are just less than a mile from this campus. I was just there a month ago when I just needed about an hour to unload things on God and talk with him. Maybe it's a morning routine that begins before your little ones are awake, right? Those of us that have children, you get creative. Don't think it has to be at between 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Here's how I learned as a college student back in the day when I was a Simpson student. I had a job here, and I was cleaning classrooms my junior year. I transferred here from a state university. I was cleaning classrooms. The next year, my senior year, I got a promotion. It came with 25 cents more an hour, and it came with keys to the library building that you guys have and some of the modular classrooms. I was management now. I wasn't cleaning no classrooms. I was the guy that got up an hour earlier in the morning and would just go and unlock all the classrooms for the students who cleaned classrooms, who would come in and make sure they did their work. And so I was awake on this campus like at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And I had this walk, and the campus was asleep. It's good to be on this campus when no one else is awake. It was dark, and I just had time with God. That was my eremos. That was a bit of a desolate place. And I would talk with God as I would walk through and open the classrooms and get things set up. I had about an hour, and then when I was done, I'd walk back, and the sun was coming up over Mount Lassen. You know, on places on this campus, you can see Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen. For me, when I see a sunrise, I'm just in awe and I'm reminded of God's power, his majesty, and I know that he is with me in his presence. And those were special times, the cold air on my face while all the other yahoos were asleep. And I'm having these times with God and these anxieties that I get to come out. And I found strength to live one more day. Okay, God, you are with me. And that started to be in my life. Then I became a pastor, a youth pastor after I graduated here. And I would find myself busy all day studying God's word and doing ministry, but neglecting that eremos, that just quiet time, that time with prayer with the Lord. And there was this record label, if anybody's my age, you might have remembered. It was called 5-Minute Walk Records. And this record label put out some amazing bands like Five Iron Frenzy and The W's and 7-Day Jesus that you've never heard of, and you're worse for it. And the reason why, and after they'd give you this sampler CD, at the end, the owner of 5-Minute Walk Records, Frank Tate, just gave a little glimpse. He says, let me tell you why we named our record label 5-Minute Walk Records. We challenge you to take a 5-minute walk with Jesus every day, to talk with Jesus as if he's your friend. And he'll become your friend. And I remember as a youth pastor, that sounded so simple, so elementary, and yet I was neglecting that time with the Lord. And so I started taking a 5-minute walk when I'd get up in the morning before I'd hop in my car to drive to church, to do Christian ministry, that I would walk my street, and it took about 5 minutes. And on that walk, I would simply pray. I'd pray for the teenagers that I was ministering to. I would pray for my family. And I would just do this walk. And I was present with God, though he's with me all day long. But it took a little discipline to do that. And those 5-minute walks turned into 10-minute walks. And on days when I was carrying heavier loads, I would go another street over and another street over. And it became a habit. That's why I say something is better than nothing, because it will probably grow even into something deeper and deeper. Let God's voice cut through all the other noise in your heart and your mind. With all your anxieties, you are able to cast your anxieties upon God, for he cares for you. Hear God in that eremos, that solitary place, for those minutes. Hear God speak his truth over you and his love over you. Let God correct your thinking about yourself. The Simpson Chapel theme this year, identity and calling. Let God remind you daily of who you are, your identity. Let God remind you daily of what he's called you to be about, the good work that he has set for you today. Get God's perspective on life and all the decisions before you. I'm in my 50s now, and I still, in my quiet place, my eremos sometimes shifts. Here's a couple pictures. There's a table that we created during COVID so I could work at my house, and there's this beautiful oak tree out, and that's usually my 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. cup of coffee, read God's word before the day gets started. I am so tempted to open up email first thing in the morning. So tempted to start studying the passage that I'm preaching that week, but just to be with God. And I'm a guy that maybe journals once or twice a week, just maybe a paragraph. And sometimes I'll write, and it's always directed to God, and it's always a prayer. And I write out my anxieties, my prayers, the ideas, just different things. That's my eremos. I didn't even have to leave the house, but the kids, it's before they were awake and before the day gets going. And you know, and let me tell you, as a pastor, a guy that's been walking with the Lord since I was 6 years old, came to know Christ, put my faith in him, there are days when I skip the quiet place. There are still days when I skip the quiet place. I open up my email first. I begin working right away. I scroll on social media for half an hour. And you know what? Bummer. Those are bummer days. I want to get back into that rhythm. My other quiet place, I'm just challenging you to find your own, is that most days I ride my bike to get from place to place. I am not a cyclist. I do not wear spandex. I'm a commuter. I'm very specific about that. I rode here today in my cons. I'm a commuter, right? It's kind of, I think it's punk rock. When you get into your 50s, it's hard to be punk rock. But there's certain ways where, you know, you stick it to the man. And that's how I like to do it. I still have a car. I'm not a weirdo. But yet, if I can ride my bike somewhere, because you know what I found about on those walks? If you try to sit to be dead quiet with God, when you sit still, I can't sit still. My mind wanders too much. But I liked going on 5-minute walks or 10-minute walks, because when my body is engaged in activity, I find that my mind is better to be present and stay focused on the Lord. Same thing with riding a bike. My body is doing something, and I'll tell you, it is spiritually healthy. We sit down a lot. When I was in seminary here, that's when I started riding my bike back and forth. Because we sit a lot, we meet with people. But to be active, and I'll tell you, on that bike, I prayed for you today. I prayed for Simpson University. I prayed for Hannah and the other 6 students that came to our church. We prayed. They're going on student missions, World Serve. I prayed for them by name. I asked forgiveness of God on things. I actually got a great idea when I was on my bike today. I think for a little bit of a solution, I can't wait to bring to our team. It doesn't have to be a bike for you. But where is it that you would have that time away from distraction and keep your earbuds out sometimes? I love listening to podcasts and different things, but you know what, God, I just want to be present with you. So Mark 1:35, I can say it, maybe you can say it by memory by now. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place, he went off to the eremos, where he prayed. So here's to today. Here's to tomorrow. You, Jesus, and the quiet place. And it's nothing more than a child spending time with their father. Nothing more than a child spending time alone with their father.